Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. That is a quote attributed to Native American leader Chief Seattle. That's printed in your bulletin as well this evening. Chief Seattle lived from about 1786 to 1866, and the city of Seattle is named after him. All things are bound together. All things connect. And I think we know this, whether we realize it or want to admit it or not. When we harm the earth, we know that we're really harming ourselves. When we pollute a river, everything downstream becomes polluted. When we put gases into the air, we know that it affects the climate around the world for years to come. Now, Chief Seattle, I think, was mainly referring to these kind of natural connections. But this web of connections is applicable in many other areas as well. Just think about how small our modern world has become. How Russia waging war on Ukraine causes food and oil shortages in so many different parts of the world. Or how the fortunes of one company can cause the stock market to fluctuate wildly and affect the fortunes of so many other companies. And we can even see connections in our emotional and mental health. One person entering a room can change the mood of that room, everyone in it, either for good or for worse. And one person repeating a rumor can spread division among a group of friends. And then those people go off and influence other people. And on the flip side, that can happen in positive ways as well, of course. And maybe you have other examples of ways that we are all connected, ways that we influence each other, ways that we're interdependent. All things are bound together. All things connect. And I think this is kind of what Jesus is telling us as well when he says, on that day, you'll know that I am in God and you are in me and I am in you. Isn't he telling us, too, that we are all connected? And I think we can acknowledge Chief Seattle's wisdom and include God's creation in that web of life as well. We're all connected, you, me, creation. We're all connected in God. And this connection isn't something that happens in the future. We're connected now. We've always been connected. We just don't always realize it. Jesus said, on that day, you will know. In other words, we'll come to know what happens to already be true. And what is that day? What is the revelation that Jesus promises? It is, of course, his promise to return to the disciples and bring them the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit that will help them know who they truly are, that will guide them to the authentic, abundant life that God desires for us, that God created us to live. Jesus promises the Spirit, a promise then fulfilled in the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost, which we celebrate in a couple of weeks. But here in today's scripture in John, Jesus is trying to prepare us, telling us what the Spirit means, how the Spirit helps us, how we can open ourselves to the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives. Now, the Spirit is that voice within that helps us and that teaches us, that guides us. The Spirit is how we know God and how we know our own true, authentic selves. And the key that opens the door to the Spirit in our lives is love. If we love him and obey his commandments, Jesus says, the Spirit will come to us. And what are Jesus' commandments? to love each other, to love our enemies, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love. It is in love that we hear the Spirit speaking. It is in love that we come to know God, because God is love. It is love that binds us all together in the divine presence. Jesus says that the world doesn't accept the Spirit of truth because the world doesn't recognize the Spirit. So many people don't know God, might never understand how that we are all connected, that we are bound together, might never know their own true nature because they don't recognize the Spirit, because they haven't opened their hearts to love. Instead, they focus on power and wealth, what they can get for themselves, with little thought for others. Never accepting that in hurting others, they also hurt themselves. And yet, when we give in to these selfish pursuits, I think when we do that, we're still seeking something. I think we're still seeking meaning and belonging in our lives. We're just looking in the wrong places. When Paul visits Athens, he sees that the people there have many shrines to many gods. They seem to want to cover all the possibilities. They even have an altar to an unknown god, just in case they miss something. Now, I kind of like the humility of the Athenians. They admit up front that they don't know everything. And then Paul kind of comes in, implying that, well, he's got all the answers. But really, there's just stuff that we don't know about God. Now, I have some strong beliefs about God, but we can't ever fully understand and explain the divine. God is also holy mystery. And whenever we think we have God figured out, we need to admit that we're putting God into a box that God is not going to stay in. And Paul does kind of admit that as well, saying the God who made heaven and earth doesn't live in buildings built by human hands. God doesn't stay in our boxes. God is so much more. God, Paul says, is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. God doesn't need anything because God is everything. In other words, we are in God and God is in us, as Jesus teaches. And that also makes us God's children, bound together in God as family. And because God is that foundation of life that we move and have our being in, God is where our meaning and belonging is found. And Paul points out that God is not found in buildings or statues or altars or power or wealth. And so he tells us we need to reform our lives. We need to start looking for God in the right places. Try looking where God is, in life, in people, in creation, in relationships, in love. It's in love that we open our hearts to the Spirit of truth and know God. It is love that binds us together, that truly connects us. And what does that mean to be bound in love to God, to creation, to each other? As I was reading and reflecting this week on that language of being in God and God being in us and love being the key to all of that, the weird image that popped into my mind was a litter of puppies. And it is a weird image, I admit that. But have you ever seen a bunch of newborn puppies together in a cardboard box, cuddling together for comfort and warmth, all intertwined and cute and loving? Well, that's the image that I had. Cuddling with God for comfort and warmth, nothing but love going on. Now, Paul and Jesus both hint at another, perhaps more useful metaphor, that of family. And Paul reminds us that we are the divine children of God, extensions of God, really. And Jesus assures us that we will not be orphaned. And maybe that's extra fitting language on Mother's Day. God as parent, as father, as mother, bound to us in love through the act of creation, guiding us, caring for us, loving and teaching us. And whenever we act in love, whenever we act as God would act, giving compassionate guidance, caring for someone who is ill, helping someone in need. I think whenever we act in love, we open ourselves to the Spirit. And we come to know God a little better. And whenever we accept the love of another person, whenever we let someone guide us or teach us, help us, whenever we allow someone within our defenses and get closer to them, we also open ourselves to the Spirit and come to know God a little bit better. Every time we love, we strengthen the ties that bind us together as the family of God. Think about what truly brings people together, that unites people and creates deep connections between us. Some of the things that I think of are sharing a sense of purpose, sharing common interests, realizing our common humanity, sharing our pains and our fears as well as our joys. And all of those things, that sharing involves risk and vulnerability. It involves listening and opening our hearts, letting go of judgment. And aren't all of those things also acts of love? Listening, opening, being open to vulnerability. Love begets love. The more love we give, the more love we have, the more healing we find, the more healing flows into the world. And ironically, as interdependent as our world is, as connected as our world is, it's also so divided and isolated by fear. The world needs healing. The world needs love. And so how can we help put more love into the world? Is there some act of love, maybe that we can even do this week? Is there some act of love that we can take to help the world recognize the Spirit of truth, to recognize that we are bound together as the family of God, that we are connected in love, that it is love that can save us and heal us? And if anyone desires a challenge for this week, maybe it would be to make a deeper connection with someone. Engage someone you know in a deeper conversation than you might usually have. Work up to some questions of substance, our fears and our regrets, stuff like that. Really get to know them. Listen to them without judgment. Before talking about ourselves, love them. And see if some kind of bond doesn't take shape, if that connection doesn't become more clear. Because we are bound together in love. We are all part of the family of God, united in love. As Chief Seattle said, all things are bound together. All things connect. And they're connected by love. Amen.